Stevie Wiebe here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Chris Alfaro from Free the Robots episode. I met him during soundcheck at the Fantastic Planet album release party. So shout out to Leilani again for hooking that show up. Yeah, he seemed like a nice guy. My favorite part of his interview was when he talked about the Low End Theory days, which was a music night that they had in around the Highland Park area, where they had like a bunch of prominent hip-hop DJs and beat makers and rappers, etc. But yeah, I really found that part of the episode interesting, so I hope you enjoy. Peace.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Wiebe Show. This episode is brought to you by Purple Mattress and Warby Parker Glasses. Look at these, huh? Do you like my glasses, Bryce?
Love them.
Okay. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome musician Chris Alfaro from Free the Robots.
Thank you very much. There you go.
Thanks for coming, man.
Thank you for having me.
So, wow, what a show, huh? We met, let's just get it out of the way. I met you at this show.
Great show.
It was a great show. Yeah, shout out. Thank you. Let's maybe thank Dome of Doom, Obey Clothing, Chewing Foil, and Leilani, the homegirl Leilani.
Yeah. The whole crazy squad of people who played that night.
That was a crazy lineup, dude.
Yeah.
How did you link up with them?
I'd always been doing Obey Records stuff. From the beginnings of when that started off. And
when did it start off? I didn't even know that they had a label. I thought it was a clothing. I thought it was just clothing and group. Like,
yeah, it was made. It was just like, it's Shepherd's Art.
Yeah, it's Shepherd's
Art. Clothing
Fair's,
out of it.
Yeah.
It was more of an experiment at first. Me and my buddy Rome, who used to work for Obey, we used to do some tours that like kind of represented the music and the scene that was going on.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, yeah.
And I think we kicked it off in like 2007. With
Or
06 or something.
Yeah, that's
with
cool.
With like some mixes.
Yeah.
And then we did this like South by Southwest show that was like pretty big. With.
Was that like, man?
It's cool, man. Like,
Wait. South by Southwest?
Yeah, South by Southwest.
I need to go there. I mean, we got an offer I just got an offer from the homie, but we're still trying to work out the details of that, but it's in Austin, right?
Yeah, it's in Austin.
And is it a weekend or?
I mean, it was like every time we go, it's like a full week, and it's just like this crazy like shit show of all sorts of stuff going on, you know.
Like, what do you mean? Aren't there like shows popping off like everywhere? Like
everywhere,
at bars and
And then the after parties and like the weird warehouses like outside of like everything that's going on.
Yeah. Did you sell merch as well when you're out there? Do people even buy merch out there? Are they too drunk?
I think it's just too much of a shit show to be worried about merch. Really. You know, it's just
So it's just like, you just do it.
Pretty much. I mean, there's like all these like music industry people there that are just like seeing artists and I don't know. To be honest, like I don't even know how organized it really is. We've done it a few times.
Yeah. So
it
what?
Was fun.
So I'm confused. So South by Southwest, is that like a broad term or is it just like what people call it for that week? Or is it like, or do they put on their own shows? Like is it a festival or?
It's a festival. I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly all the details. I always just like, there's always like, oh yeah, you want to play South by? I'm like, yeah, cool. But, it really is like a big music industry slash like artist trying to break through.
Damn, that's
trying
crazy.
To connect everybody because everybody's there in Austin all at once. Of, like genres and everything.
That's crazy. That's but crazy.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun, huh? How did you? Did they fly you out there?
Initially the with Obey.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was kind of a while ago. Yeah, and it was a crazy show. Yeah, it was like from what I understand, the first electronic
that's crazy
based show, because it used to be more of like, you know, rock and stuff.
Yeah, but it's becoming like more of that to begin with.
You know, it's just kind of everything.
That's crazy. Well, we'll see. Yeah. I gotta find out more information before I go. I can't just buy a ticket. You know what I mean? Because they're not gonna even float the ticket. They're like, just find, try to make it here. So, how did you like? So you, how did you meet like Leilani and as well?
We had met a long time ago at my old restaurant back in the day.
Oh, I want to talk about that. Yeah. So you have your own restaurant as well.
Used to. Yeah. Me and my buddies had a few spots down in Santa Ana.
Well, what kind of food?
All over the place. Food. Oh, that's what's up. But it was a restaurant, music venue, bar slash community place that we just had fun.
It seems like a handful. Different monster trying to run your own restaurant, right? Or something.
Yeah, man. I was a little too young to be. No, it was great. It was, you know, but we jumped in pretty early and we had this idea and this energy. We're like, oh, yeah, let's go all out. And I was like 25 years old.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And, damn, that's really impressive, man.
Yeah. And weirdly enough, I was the oldest of the partners.
Old restaurant. Wait, say that again. I missed that.
I was the oldest of the partners.
Right. So let's get into your music history, man. Like, how did you get into music or DJing and then making electronic music to doing the Low End Theory and all that?
Yeah, it's kind of a strange journey. Like, you know, I was born and raised in the Orange County area.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in the 90s, started DJing. You know,
in the 90s?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, mainly just like, you know, just watching stuff like ITF and DMC videos and
turntable TV. So you ain't no spring chicken, are you? Because you said the 90s. You said the 90s.
Yeah, I'm the 90s.
Okay.
So like my first, I was like really into like scratch, like turntable. Just, you know, we had a little band, scratch band called Stormtroopers back in the day.
Oh, that's what's up.
And we would compete, you know, in like the late 90s.
Like DMC style or?
Yeah. Style. And just from that, like, you know, just collecting records and you know, I didn't have enough money to have like buy an MPC when I was that young. But it was like someday, like maybe I'll utilize whatever I'm collecting. Yeah. And that's what happened. You just start listening to music a little bit more because you have turntables and
I hear you.
You start doing a little bit more research on, you know, there was always like this obsession if you grew up in hip hop.
Yeah.
That you would find samples that, you know, people, your favorite producers would sample.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Back to the MPC, because you're Pinoy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my girl's Filipino as well. Yeah, and then I was in an all Asian rap collab in Arizona.
Right.
It was mostly Pinoy, Korean, Pinoy, you know, but we're all Asian cats. But I had an Asian homie in the 90s. He had an MPC, and people with MPCs, they're like kind of weird with their MPCs. Like, he would never let me touch it.
I mean, yeah, I was like, hey, rare can I, to have.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, he was like really weird with it. Like, he wouldn't let me touch the buttons. He's like, dude, get away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he wouldn't even teach me nothing. Because I'm like, I learned on samplers like these.
He caught his role.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like these little ones. But the MPC is like that, like supercharged.
Yeah, yeah.
But why are producers so weird with their MPCs? Like where they won't let you show any secrets? Or what is up with that?
Maybe it was just, you know, back in the day, if you had one, you were a rare part of a rare breed.
Yeah,
and, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a rarity. Like,
yeah, it was very special.
Explain to the viewers. They might even not know what an MPC is. So maybe explain to the viewers what it is.
You sample, make beats out of it.
It's a sampler.
Yeah, and
it's an analog.
Among other things, like sampler. People have taken it in so many directions. I mean, Exile for one.
Yeah, I was just gonna bring him up because that's how I met you during soundcheck.
Yeah, yeah.
We were tripping on him, right? Because we were in the back of the warehouse.
Yeah.
Like on the couch.
Yeah.
This is when I first met you, and I was like, that thing was so powerful to me.
Yeah.
Like he would just play a couple things. It was like boom.
He's turned that into his own instrument. And yeah. He's basically, he could scratch with it, which is crazy. I've never seen anybody scratch with it.
Wait, Exile can?
I don't know. He like was doing something with like, I still can't explain it. I couldn't tell you. But
so was that the first time meeting him?
No.
Oh, you've known Exile.
Yeah, for a very long time. Yeah. We used to.
From Blue and Exile.
From actually Eminon back in the
Eminon.
Day.
Eminon.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's like going. That's like 90s, isn't it?
Yeah.
90s-ish.
Okay,
because we're going to take a little break right now with our new sponsor, Purple Mattress, okay? Look at me. I haven't slept as well in ages because of this damn mattress. I sleep like a baby every night. And one thing about this mattress, ladies and gentlemen, is it's breathable. It's comfortable. It's like sleeping on a goddamn cloud, okay? A puffy, fluffy cloud, okay? So do me a favor, okay? Go to purple.com. You get a 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your damn mattress for a full refund. What do you think about that? Okay? It's backed by a 10-year warranty, free shipping and returns, free in-home setup, old mattress removal. What do you think about that, Jason? That's not a bad deal. Okay, so you're going to love Purple, and right now our listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. Let me repeat that, a free Purple pillow, okay? That's in addition to the great gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text Stevie 474747.
Where do you text
Stevie? Stevie, like the Stevie Weeby Show, Stevie 474747. You text it to, the only way to get the free pillow is you text Stevie 2474747. Oh, is that what you're asking? So you text it to Stevie 474747. Go to purple.com. Do yourself a favor. Get that mattress. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Now, hey, and now back to our guest here. Hey, Bryce, can you hand me an orange bubble drink? Because I'm really thirsty. Can you hand me a bubble? Did you drink yours?
I got one.
What do you think, Chris?
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah.
It's bubbly.
We got a lot to talk about, friend. Mm-hmm. I just, the first time I met you, I knew you were like brethren. I'm like, oh, you know what? This guy, it's like, I just, you know, you have a feeling with certain people. I'm like, it's that like, I knew you already. I'm like,
yeah, man.
You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, this guy, he's easy to talk. You don't get that like every day.
Yeah.
But with you, I'm like, I looked at you, I talked to you, I'm like, oh, I could get along with him.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Soundcheck family.
Yeah. I was tripping, man. It was a trip because I'm still in a band called Mongchi, you know, with Dave Cho and Money Mark. And our first show was at a warehouse.
Oh, nice.
So it brought me back to like, it was like, because that was my first solo show. It brought me back to like full circle, like starting over.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
prove myself. But that's what it is. But being a musician, you have to constantly prove yourself, don't you?
I mean, prove yourself to yourself.
Mm-hmm. And so let's go back to your So you just started in the 90s. You just started crafting your skills. How you'd practice all the time and you'd collect records. And how did this work? The type of gear you were using.
Yeah, I mean, my brother gave me this bootleg version of Reason one time and. Or no, it was not even Reason yet. There was like Acid Music software and
I remember
Fruity
that.
Loops mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Dude, and Fruity Loops was the shit.
It's still
it was the bomb, dude.
Yeah, it's still dope.
I did a whole EP on Fruity Loops.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally... So explain to the viewer what Fruity Loops is, because they might be like...
It's a computer...
Program
that is a sequencer. You can make beats on it and sounds. I mean, there's... tons of people who actually still use it and still make amazing music
on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I had powerful. Like the old PC version. This is like early 2000 types. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm sure it's way better now.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I remember about that program is my homie, my Filipino homie, Sean, the one with the MPC, he showed me that as well.
Yeah.
because he, like, you know, he was way ahead of his time. I mean, he should be. Oh man, he made some good music. But they're blocks. They're like these little blocks from left, from west to east, like, and like left to right. And then there's blocks. And then you could just click on the blocks. You could place a kick here, a snare here, hi hats, and it's just, it's just like.
That's one way.
That's
of doing
all it is. Yeah, yeah.
With all these programs, there's so many different ways you can make music out of it.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want now?
You know what? I'm actually still on Reason.
You're on Reason.
Always loved it. It's always the it kept on getting better with throughout the years and like, you know, my pro it's never broken on me and I'm still just like, I don't know. I just feel super comfortable with it. I know I should probably move on to Ableton like most people. But.
my girlfriend got me Ableton for my Christmas.
Yeah.
I still don't know how to use it. Yeah. It's so difficult. I'm doing like tutorials on YouTube and I'm like, it's hard. It's, you know, like with GarageBand, I pick it up like that. I'm like, oh, okay. But exactly, with this, it's like, it's just the layout's funky and I don't know where to click. And I don't even know how to do a regular beat where, you know, they have like their set beat and like to drag it to somewhere else to hear it.
I mean, it's one of those, There's definitely a learning curve, and I've seen what you can possibly do on it, and it's definitely like a superior program to what I'm used to. But
what, Ableton?
Yeah, just
because all the dudes are on that. Like Dell uses that.
Everybody uses it.
Yeah. Amp Live. Mm-hmm. All them cats, right? Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Oh, shout out to Thavius Beck and Gino Subtitle.
Yeah,
back they Thavius was on it back then.
Yep.
And he teaches courses and stuff.
Yeah.
I should get him on here, huh?
You should.
You know what? Yeah, that's a good guy. I should get Thavius on here to do a Ableton tutorial.
There you go. Perfect.
I looked up to those cats because I worked at Amoeba.
Oh, word.
I was a cashier there.
Oh, crazy.
And it seemed like every week those two guys were dropping new albums.
Yeah.
I would check the computer system, new album.
Yeah.
This one on Mush, new album. Lab Waste was off the chain.
Wow,
I've seen them perform. You remember that?
Yeah, man. I'm actually performing with Gio next week.
Shout out to Subtitle. Shout out to Giovanni Marks.
Yeah, Gio Marks.
That dude, he's been on here as well.
Oh, cool.
Gino, right?
Nice.
Gino was on here. Maybe we'll have him back. Because, man, that guy, how many albums he dropped? Thousands?
Endless, man. He's probably got so much... in the kitchen too, man.
Are you cool with KDI?
I'm familiar with him, but
shout out to Kiki too. Yeah. Holler at Kiki if you listen to this. Holler at me. I want him on here too. Like I love getting musicians, you know.
Yeah, man.
So let's go back to your history. Yeah, sorry, I just I get excited to talk about art and music and stuff.
Oh yeah, I guess. Well, when you grow up in a place like Orange County, you kind of just like get bored.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So you kind of get into everything that is a little different if you're not part of the norm of what is around you. So I found my refuge actually at a punk house, and I would always go there, and it was kind of like a punk house / hip hop was always there.
That's cool.
Like the graffiti yard was there.
Yeah,
there would be like ska parties. And
ain't nothing wrong with that. I like ska as well. I like that stuff. British Invasion. I like that.
Yeah, man.
The Specials and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it was just, it's crazy. It was just one little cultural, it was called Coos Cafe in Santa Ana. And that's kind of like what opened my mind up to everything in music. Like,
oh, it just blew your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
It just opened it.
Yeah.
In what ways, though? In what ways?
Like in
possibilities?
In possibilities and also... just the idea of not like, because when you're young and you think of the idea of music and, you know, some people have this like mission for success. And I think like growing up in like Santa Ana and like going to that punk house all the time, it taught me how to just not really care as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
In what ways, as far as performing or just your art?
Letting go. Like
just letting go.
Just like being myself. It
yeah,
was more
yeah,
so
because, yeah.
you know, a lot of people, like when they start off on music, success is one of the factors. and like fame.
I've gotten to the point where it seems now like back in the 90s, this is just my opinion.
Back in the 90s,
it seemed like it was more on your skills.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me now it's all about like clout, your clout.
Yeah.
Like Tekashi 6ix9ine is a great example, right? When you say, even though like, you know what I'm saying? It seems like if you have tattoos on your face and you like, you know what I mean?
Oh, you have this
personality. You're like selling yourself rather than your music.
I really don't know too much about what's going on.
I have no idea either.
I mean, you know, there's room for everyone that you know, they're going to do what they do.
There's a beauty in that as well. Yeah, exactly.
And you know, there's also what maintains the balance of what, you know, certain people do and, you know, it's whatever. I know that I'm not really part of that world, but if it's there,
it's there. I mean, there must be there's obviously a fan base for it, and these kids love it, you know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And so when you start going to these warehouse parties or like, you know, this punk place, when did you get enough courage to be like, you know what? I want to start making my own music.
Well, I actually used to, you know, aside from like being a hip hop head and like scratching and everything, I started playing in punk bands actually.
That's dope.
And at a certain point, I was like, you know, I don't want to like go at my own pace. So I used, you know, my knowledge in hip hop and like, you know, when computer programs became a little bit more accessible for bedroom artists.
Yeah.
You just use everything that you possibly can, you know, marry that with your mind state of like, you know what? I don't really care anymore what people think about.
It's music, this, dude.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's just music, like, yeah.
There's no, you know, there's no trying to please anybody.
Exactly.
It's just like,
yeah,
I want to just have fun in my room. I have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I have the ideas. Let's see if I can make something different. And
did you, so back then, were you using like 8-tracks and 4-tracks and stuff like that?
I've used kind of everything.
Everything.
Yeah. Like weird tape decks and just like tweaking. Like there's, I had like this karaoke machine that I used to mess around with.
Yeah. We messed with karaoke machines in Arizona too.
Yeah.
My rap crew. My rap homies, we didn't even have before we had a 4-track, one of them had a karaoke machine.
Yeah.
It was my homie Ohm. So shout out to Ohm. He's Pinoy. He's a Pinoy rapper from Arizona.
Okay.
I want to get him on here soon, but that's family. So
there you go.
But like, I love that. Like, you know, it's like you don't need, if you could record, just record it, a tape deck, whatever you got. You know what I mean?
You don't need like that much of a studio.
Yeah.
You don't like, it's all the ideas and your approach with it, I guess. And the energy that you put into it, it just like, it comes out in the music, you know. You don't really need them. Some of my favorite music was just recorded with one microphone and a guitar.
Yeah, like Daniel Johnston. I'm a fan of Daniel.
Yeah,
speaking of South by Southwest, Austin, Texas, Daniel Johnston. He had a crappy organ in the garage with a tape deck. And some of the best stuff ever recorded.
Yeah, wasn't he sang that song on
Casper,
Movie Kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Daniel Johnston, if you haven't seen this, Larry Clark did a movie in the 90s called Kids. So rest in peace, Harold Hunter and Justin Pierce.
Yes, sir.
I must have watched that movie hundreds of times.
Yeah, that was like
because, you know, I'm into skateboard,
movie.
You know, it's like it had everything in it, you know, and it's New York.
Yeah.
Something I wasn't familiar with. Have you seen that movie, Jason? You haven't seen Kids?
Everybody needs to see Kids at some point in their life.
Wait, hold up. You haven't seen Kids?
I haven't.
These guys haven't seen Kids.
Oh, man. Kids was kind of like...
We're going to have a business meeting. We're going to have a meeting. This is unacceptable, dude.
I feel like it defined an entire generation.
Explain to the viewers what Kids is.
What was it, 94 or something?
Yeah, 94, 94.
Larry Clark and Harmony Korine, I believe.
Yeah, Harmony Korine, yeah.
And it was just like, from what I understand, it's him just kind of filming his friends and
Leo
like what
Fitzpatrick,
they do.
Leo Fitzpatrick. Played the main character, Telly.
Yeah.
So it's about this kid who... I have to be careful about the wording on this because we want to make this PG. Jeez, how do we even say this? His whole mission in life was to get with underage girls. I mean, that's the polite way of saying it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's among the polite others, way of saying it.
Yeah, that would be the
but
polite
he
way.
But he kind of went the dark route or
and
kind of the pervert.
I think what needs to happen is everybody just needs to watch it.
Yeah, really. Just watch the movie, you know, Larry Clark, you know. I'm a fan of his work, man.
Yeah.
Have you seen Bully?
You know what? Yeah. I have that. I just haven't gotten
to it yet.
You
gotta watch that one, dude. That's based in Florida.
Yeah,
you gotta watch that one. But anyway, this is great. I didn't think we'd talk about this, but this is just flowing great.
Yeah.
I should have asked you at the beginning. I love the name Free the Robots. I saw it on Flyer. I've seen it. I've seen the name. And in my mind, I'm like, whoa, what is this? I thought Free the Robots was eight dudes.
It sounds like
100 dudes in there. I'm like, Free the Robots?
Yeah.
But how'd you come up with the name, man?
I don't know if I can say this, but
you can.
Basically,
we can edit if you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I was on shrooms.
Well, that's not. Watching, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I was just like watching sci-fi movies and in the background and kind of just like working, but not really.
Was it cartoons like Rick and Morty? Like that's on the background here.
Kind of like that, but you know. Weird sci-fi flicks from the 1960s.
Oh, wow.
those were my things of choice to just have in the background while I was...
How did you even find those movies?
I don't know, VHS.
Oh, VHS.
Like, stores.
And then you were by yourself?
Yeah.
How much shrooms did you eat?
I don't know. Enough to come up with the name Free the Robots. But it came to me out of nowhere, and it was just like... It sounded dope.
Yeah,
but,
it does. But it's catchy, right? What do you guys say? I like it, yeah. Free the robots.
But yeah, and I was able to come up with like a meaning or story after, or I don't know. It sounded like it's a little bit deeper than it really was, but it really was just me on mushrooms, and it just like came to me.
But it's a great name because anyone could come up with their own concept of what that means, you know? I thought I was on some Philip K. Dick stuff. I was like, oh, is it like some sci-fi like in the future where robots are like, you know, they're like captive, like they're like captured or, you know, or something? Or is it some Terminator? You know, that's what's great about the name, right? You could come up with your own meaning.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you start performing under that moniker?
I think it was 2004 mm-hmm. around then. I didn't really perform yet. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until 2006 when Low End Theory happened.
Okay, but I want to talk about that too, yeah.
Was like MySpace era there was the first time that, you know, any musician or bedroom kid or a band could just like put music up out there and create this persona and mm-hmm. just be like, hell, here
was
it
this
is.
Was this during MySpace or?
This was MySpace, man. And it was kind of like the beginning.
Explain to the viewers what MySpace is.
MySpace is prior to Facebook and Instagram.
Back then it was popping.
Yeah.
But
oh, wow.
It's extinct
Thank
now.
Thank you,
but
MySpace.
Yeah, go ahead. What was MySpace?
It was...
It's a social network.
It was a social network where you can have your little profile on there. But
you can make your own music profile.
Put your music, yeah.
And put four songs.
Yep. Yeah, put four songs on there. And then, you know, that's how people would discover each other because they would be like, who are their top friends?
Yeah,
and then who
are
their more friends? And then you would just like go on this vortex.
Yeah, I would play the first song that's on your page. Yeah.
You could also put your tour dates up there. It was like perfect for like people like me, you know, just
people like me too. Like we're struggling.
Exactly.
We don't have
exactly.
I wasn't on a label. Still not. You know,
it pretty much was the beginning of like destroying the middleman. Like you had a direct, direct pathway to your fans or they would follow. You know. Figure you out somehow.
It's so crazy now. It's like Instagram. Like Instagram is that you know what I'm saying?
That is.
And if 10 years from now, it's gonna be something else.
But MySpace, the way it like popped off in the beginning was just like perfect, man.
Yeah.
It's essentially, I feel, is what started a lot of what's going on right now, yeah, in terms of like kicked off a lot of careers, and he kicked, yeah, off like interest all over the world, man. Like I was saying, when Free the Robots, in 04, I was working at an art gallery.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I just kind of wanted to copy the same way these artists do these weird limited runs of stuff. And just,
yeah, like vinyl or?
No, just CDs.
CDs, you know, yeah, yeah, like, yeah, I hear you.
I was at work and like, you know, we weren't as busy during the day. So I'd spend the day just like burning CDs and going on, yeah, MySpace, yeah, yeah, and, yeah, shit. Yeah. And then I made like my first
limited edition of course, it's always
album
limited edition
thing, yeah, called The Prototype. And
how many copies? 200?
I think there was like 400 total.
Oh, that's cool.
So I freaking printed like 400 CDs at work.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah,
like spray painted like my little stencil on it and then numbered it.
Oh,
them, and
so
like
you made the
them.
You didn't even inkjet it or thermal print
nothing
on it?
I had a Sharpie marker.
That's extra money, dude.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I had a lot of time on my hands. Yeah. What do you do when you work at an art gallery? You know what I mean?
You burned them yourself?
Yeah, man. Like I had
at your tower?
Yeah.
On your tower?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been there, done that.
A very long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's part of the process, especially, yeah, back in the day when you don't have anything.
Oh, I went to Staples.
Yeah, man.
So when I worked at Amoeba, I bought their jewel cases wholesale.
Yeah.
So I'd buy a whole box of jewel cases with the insert things, go to Staples, and then I would print out my covers,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and then exactly. I would buy wholesale CDs, burn it. But then I went far. I bought a thermal printer, and it took like so long for one CD. It was like...
Yeah.
And I'd wait there all night. I would spend the whole night. I was my own CD manufacturer when I lived in the shoebox apartment.
Oh,
not,
yeah,
this one,
right
when
there.
I lived over there, yeah.
Oh, those back in the day, yeah, hustles, man, just to get it out. But that's all part of the process, and you, yeah, know, that's what makes it a little bit more special.
I hear you. Let's continue. Let's just hold on to that thought. We got we have another ad for our new sponsor this episode, Warby Parker glasses. What do you think about these, Jason? You like them? These are the Durans I'm wearing. Yeah. I discovered Warby Parker glasses just on a whim. I bought my girlfriend. She needed new glasses. We were in West Hollywood. We actually walked in there. I didn't know what it was, but I was like, whoa, the people were real helpful. And then we picked out her glasses and it was $95, dude.
Holy shit.
She's still rocking them. Whoa. So, and now, ironically, we have Warby Parker as our sponsor. So definitely go to warbyparker.com/Stevie to order your free home try-ons today, folks. Okay? These bad boys, I passed my DMV eye exam for my renewal. You know? And these things, that I got my... I'll show you the license. I was scared to take the eye exam, man. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, I was like, you know, but these things, boom, did it, passed it. Warby Parker, okay? This is all because of Warby Parker. Okay, so try your free home try-on program. Order 5 pair of glasses and try them on for 5 days. There is no obligation to buy. Ships free and includes a free paid return shipping label. Head to warbyparker.com/Stevie to order your free home try-ons today. Glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses. Lenses include anti-glare and anti-scratch coatings. For every pair you buy, a pair is distributed to someone in need. Discuss the Warby Parker iTunes app. Emphasize going to site through. Still the vanity URL, but then after order, home. Okay, I'm not supposed to read that. But anyway, go to warbyparker.com/Stevie and get your free home try-ons today. Right, Bryce?
Right.
Okay. Now let's go back to the awesome interview here. I'm sorry. Sorry for reading that. I didn't know I was not supposed to read that. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's so clear. It's so clear. It's so clear. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to... Yeah, man. So what were we talking about? I'm sorry. I was in the Warby Parker world for a sec.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about CDs.
Oh, yeah, CDs. And then when did you start? Like, so you press a 400.
Yeah, and that was the first time.
You start doing shows. You had to sell them.
Not yet, actually.
Then how were you slanging them?
Well, I was just emailing. I would just put them up for sale online, and I was like, you know what, forget shipping. I just want people to hear it, whatever. I'm just like, it's $5, limited. And
on your MySpace?
Yeah, on MySpace. And that's when I noticed that I like actually had an international audience, because there was people that were
in
buying
Japan,
it from like Japan,
Australia,
everywhere, man.
Yeah,
Italy,
UK. Yeah.
And, you know, it was just like, whoa, like people like are listening. Like, you know, because back in the day, your mission was to just at least impress your neighborhood. You know what I mean? Maybe like get the tape out.
Or the local scene.
Yeah, the local scene and whatever. But then like MySpace allowed the international thing happening.
That's
and I was
crazy,
like, even though I'd probably lose out on how much it cost to ship something, it was just like, you know what? It's cool. Like these people like the music, and I probably lost money on everything, but I just, it was the, well, the important thing was,
but it was,
I got
promotion,
the music out.
Dude.
Yeah,
you didn't really lose, because it was promotion too, as well.
The money is like not even.
It's gonna
really
come back,
thing.
Dude. Yeah. It always comes back, right?
I mean, it has.
Well, I like to think that.
Yeah,
I like to think that.
Yeah. So whoever has those CDs, like, thank you very much, because so, man, 400 limited.
Always buy this guy's projects. Always buy his stuff. So when did you? So when did you start performing your stuff, man?
2006, the first year of Low End Theory.
How did you link up with them cats?
I grew up basically in music and going to raves with the Gas Lamp Killer back in the day.
Yeah, and my homie Mestiza worked with him at Turntable Lab.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that? Like on Fairfax, sir?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a small world, man. And when they started that concept, you know, it was just a given. Like, you know, anyone who was doing anything weird or something that was a little left field for the norm, if you're a part of that little community or had friends of friends in it, and
that's cool. You guys, it seems like it was a family kind of vibe, right?
Yeah, it kicked off that way. I mean, I didn't know all the guys yet. I'd met everybody that night, and
was Flying Lotus part of that as well?
Oh, you know, he was one of the artists. Of course.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretty large. Didn't he blow up?
He
like blew up.
Well deserved, man. That guy's a genius. He's a genius.
No doubt. Yeah. Shout out to Flying Lotus. Yeah. If you happen to watch this, holler at me. We want you as a guest as well to get your history. But
yeah, it's a funny history with that whole little. Everybody was like MySpace like friends,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right. Explain. I think we were jumping ahead. Explain to the viewers what Low End Theory was.
Oh, Low End Theory.
Yeah, it was in LA,
Lincoln Heights. At this place called the Airliner, and this whatever started off on MySpace, like pretty much. Finally had a home, and like before that, you know what I mean, clearly like there was very interesting things that were happening in LA for that, you know, that stemmed from you know, the Project Blood world to the drum and bass like rave world, and then you know, everything that was
just popping,
just popping LA, off in LA,
probably,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
and, you know, the new newer generations do with new ideas, and you know, beat heads that were bedroom beat heads that, you know, also had a MySpace, and people just like finally had a
platform.
Yeah. A stage to perform.
To perform.
And
yeah.
Meet people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
It was like a spot that you could like openly smoke weed and shit. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
There's different levels, right? I remember there's a upstairs.
Yeah.
In the bar, there's like a little mini bar stage up there, and then there's an outside area as well.
The outside, like the first early years, it was always open. It closed down for a little bit for noise complaints, but
I was tripped when I went, because I'm like, I saw like some of my heroes and stuff, like dudes I looked up to. Like I don't drink anymore, but I was at the bar, and then like I seen like people under the stairs walk in, like the dude from that group. I was like, oh, what's he doing here?
Yeah.
I was kind of tripping out. I was like, I guess they're all just here hanging out.
I mean, it attracted many of interesting guests from Prince.
That's crazy. How did Prince find out about this? That blows my mind, dude. I mean, Prince knew about Low End Theory. That's crazy.
I mean,
rest in peace.
Artists like that, you know, I'd like to think they're always like, thinking of you know, what's the new generation listening to, or like what's a little different than what's normal out there, and Prince seemed to be one of those guys, you know what I mean?
Damn,
that was always
so
like
crazy
ahead of the game, but
you
at
like
the same
Prince?
Time,
yeah, I
Who doesn't love Prince?
Who doesn't love Prince?
God, Prince is the man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, he's legendary, dude. That's like, you can't, that's just, he's up there, dude. He's like on top. Yeah. So how long did Low in Theory like last? How many years?
I want to say 12 years.
Yeah.
12 years. It was always kind of like the Wednesday night that we would call home, you know? And
so it was a monthly?
Weekly.
It was a weekly.
Damn. 12 years of a weekly.
Hey, did you guys get a cut at the door?
I think that's how it worked out. Whatever it was, like, you know, when it came to Low End Theory, it wasn't even like, everyone got paid.
It wasn't about money.
Yeah, you know.
But can you sell your merch and stuff?
Yeah, you could do that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was just this crazy, like my very first show was with Prefuse 73, and I had never performed in my life.
Oh, I remember that,
dude. And like, you know, he was always like one of my idols. Like,
yeah. Was he on Anticon?
I don't know.
What label?
What was the label that he was on?
Was it Mush?
What's that label called?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Ninja Tune. Was it Ninja Tune?
He's had like...
I don't know.
Plug Research.
Yeah, and, something like that. Yeah.
But yeah, cool, man.
Yeah. Were you tripping like just on the same lineup as him? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, you must have been tripping like, wow, I'm on lineup with this guy.
Yeah.
Dude I look up to.
And it wasn't, you know, it was my very first, I didn't even know how to perform yet. I didn't even like come up with a way to perform until after that show because of like.
How did you go about? Because I've seen some of your videos, like you implement keyboards and you're like going to different instruments and stuff. And
yeah, I mean, well, that first one with Prefuse, it was just a DJ set because I didn't know like what to do. You know what I mean? Like,
so would
I
was you bring just, your table?
Yeah, just rock turntables and Serato and just like played around. But then after that, I was like, you know, I want to turn it up a little bit. Do some more interesting things. And every time I got, or at least within those early years, when I got invited back, my buddy Phil Nisko, keyboard player, total genius, like at all sorts of instruments, I had him do a two-man set.
That's so that's we do like up.
The drum machines and the keyboards.
That's
and
cool, man.
Guitar pedals and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, to add effects and stuff?
There's some videos online that how we used to. We're probably going to do that again at some point.
Yeah. God, that must have been a good time for like fun times.
Yeah. It was,
Why did it end, if you don't mind me asking? Because it seemed like a positive thing for the community.
Yeah.
And musicians as well. Yeah.
I think it just ran its course, man. There's
wow.
just ran its course. Yeah. I don't know. Like, exactly everything, but it was whatever it was a great time.
God, that's
definitely
a great
honored
thing.
To have been a part of
oh,
it.
Oh, no doubt, that's so cool. Congrats for being a part of that.
Oh man,
that's like an honorable thing to be a part of that roster of, you know, those days. And
it's like one of those things that'll go back down in history, like
as far as LA nights. Yeah. Now, when did you start? You obviously changed up your set after that first time, but when did you start like taking it on the road and like touring and any memorable tours or like shows?
Yeah, I think my first tour was with No Such Thing and Daedalus, and we had
Yeah, we did a show with them. My band did a show. That was like one of our first shows.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I did flyer, No Such, and then Munchie. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it was at The Smell.
Oh, nice. Classic spot.
You know what? I'm glad you brought him up because he was supposed to be on here as well.
Oh, right on, man.
So No Such, holler at me, dude.
Yeah, man. Happy birthday, by the way.
Hey, man, holler at me. We want you on here.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he makes some beautiful music, huh?
Genius, man.
Yeah.
He's one of the first guys I had actually met on MySpace back in those days.
Who, No Such?
Yeah, because we were good. We did a beat invitational together.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, ever since.
He makes some beautiful beats as well.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Very melodic. It's got this like his own.
Yeah,
movement.
He's got. Yeah, that's a good way melodic. Yeah.
He has his like. Yeah. Very
you heard his music?
Thing.
God, these guys. I'm gonna have to. You heard his music? Are you? You have?
Yeah, I like his name.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just messing with them.
Yeah, man.
They haven't seen kids, but anyway. So that was like one of your first like shows with no side, like
outside of Lowen, like we did a tour, like a really small tour.
Where? West Coast, East Coast, Midwest?
We just hit San Francisco, Portland, mm-hmm. and Denver, and then
that's what's up.
Since then, I've been touring.
That's like, crazy.
Pretty extensively since then, but it still boggles my mind.
Yeah, do you have like an agent? Like, how'd you guys book this?
I have an agent now, and then mm-hmm. I've had an agent then, like, mm-hmm. Been through different agencies and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, granted, like, people dig it. It's like, once again, it comes to me as a surprise, like, you know, being from the bedroom and everything, mm-hmm. and like
taking
doing something that's not really, considered like pop music or whatever. It's just like, it just has its own thing, you know?
It's the way it is now though.
Yeah.
Like totally. What you guys are doing. That's what it is. Right?
I'm just grateful that there is an audience out there that,
yeah, that's great, man.
And you never know, because it's very different in every city. Like the audience.
What are some of your favorite? Like, what are some of your memorable shows? Like, in Oregon, or
I would like the most interesting places. Like, I would say are a little bit on the international side. Like, I don't know, and there's a heavy contrast that you experience during tours. Like, sometimes I'll be playing in some like super squat anarchist like crazy venue that's just like, what's happening, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
super grimy, experimental,
grimy. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then like the next spot will be
like a nice bar,
a really
with a
nice like spot with pink lights,
right,
you know what
right,
I mean
yeah,
you're
yeah.
like, whoa, how I don't know, it's just like weird. But then it's also the music. I mean, once it all boils down to the music and how it
translates
to people, but everybody has their own translation.
That's what's
up. You know
up.
What I mean?
Yeah,
everyone
yeah.
can like consume it differently by however, yeah. but I don't know. My music tends to go in weird directions, and certain people understand certain things and certain people don't understand others. So.
That's interesting. Who are some of your musical influences? Like, who's influenced you to craft your sound the way it is now? Like, who inspired you?
I mean, people who set it off, I mean, from the beginning would be like DJ Shadow, who would be
I remember that album, dude. We used to bump that. You know which album I'm talking about? Like those dudes in the record store?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that album, like, that was on repeat.
Yeah. I still listen to Shadow. But he was the first guy that, like, kind of, like, you know what? This is a guy that's doing the music that I like to listen to, but by himself. You know, he was working with a lot of other people, too. But, like, that was the instrumental, sample-based...
It was chill too. Like a lot of his stuff, it was just cool, like background, kind of like it chilled you out.
Yeah.
Type music. I like that. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it just put you in this mood. And it was like during a time, it was like Shadow, DJ Crush, Portishead.
Portishead? You
know, like, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't listen to that.
Get too.
No. I had a bad
crying.
Acid trip. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you
I had
go.
A bad acid trip in Arizona listening to Dummy.
Portishead
Dummy.
I get it.
Dude, I had that was one of the worst days of my life. I can't listen to it. I mean, it's great music, but mm-hmm. I just personally can't listen to it.
Because
it shifted my acid trip, dude. Like, where I saw, like, demons or ghosts come out
of the
dorm
one.
Room wall and stuff. It was there, like, dead people in the walls. And
oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was that song, Strangers, off of Dummy.
Oh, yeah.
Doom, doom, doom.
Yep.
Doom.
Yeah. That'll get you.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that was on repeat.
Yeah.
So it was just, it was like the haunting.
Oh, yeah.
The haunting at Ocotillo Dormitory. Doom, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Creaking sounds. And her voice, man.
It's got something like
cryptic.
Very eerie.
Yeah, dude. But it's dope.
Yeah.
That's what makes good music. If it enters your soul like that,
mm-hmm.
and it could alter your trip, that's some good music, wouldn't you say, Jason?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but she's got dope music. So what's her name? Beth Gibbons?
Beth Gibbons.
Yeah, shout out to Beth Gibbons. We're fans, but mm-hmm. I just can't listen to it because I haven't told my therapist about that yet. I need to tell him. Yeah. So shout out to Dr. Choi.
There you go.
Yeah, I got to get... that's a whole session in itself. Yeah. But what about Z-Trip or like Radar? Or
DJs, that's, mm-hmm. you know... There's a lot that
Koala,
that went
Kid
into.
Koala?
Kid Koala is amazing, yeah. man. And
that's a homie right there, huh? That, shout out to Eric. Yeah.
I guess, you know, if we go that far back, it would mm-hmm. be like Q-Bert and the Invisible Scratch Pickles D-Styles, of course. Mm-hmm. And then the Beat Junkies, like mm-hmm. those, you know, that whole era and squad. I'm still mm-hmm. about them till this day. And yeah. they're like
shout out to all
friends,
them.
You know?
All of them.
Yo, all of them, man.
I want Babu on here. I want a lot of those. I see, if I could get like either a Shortcut or a Q-Bert. Can you write this stuff down, Bryce? write down Q-Bert, Babu. Because Red was here. So Red shout out to Red Matic was on here. So I was, you know, I was tripping when he was sitting where you were. I was like, man. I grew up with all
OG,
that, you know?
OG,
yeah. And they got their own school now.
Yeah.
They DJ got their own school.
Mm-hmm. We actually, Rhett used to have we shared a residency at my old restaurant. And yeah, we did a night called Shift. And
that's what's up. At your restaurant?
Fun. Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. And it was just like.
Was it like on the patio or something?
It was just in the rest. We would like move the tables at a certain point and then turn it into a party. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
That whole era was like a 9-year party.
yeah. Hey, man, I commend you for a man. Like, not a lot of people could say they got their own. They started a restaurant.
Thank you.
What I mean? Can we talk about that a little bit? Or
sure, yeah.
Because maybe someone listens to the, like how what made you like what does it take to get your own restaurant popping off like that?
Insanity.
Yeah, insanity. So is it like sleepless nights or what was the restaurant called?
The Crosby. Insanity.
Oh, that's
Anna.
A cool name. How'd you come up? Crosby, Stills and Nash.
Kind of.
Okay.
Weird. It was weird. Like, I guess we were talking about how we wanted just like a neutral kind of, you know, classic place. We had it looked like a 1940s, 50, like spot.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I don't know. The Crosby just sounded kind of like had that vibe. And we're like, yeah, let's throw on some ideas. Mm-hmm. And then we were going to City Hall to like handle some city stuff. And like some like, crackhead lady was like, you guys look like Bing Crosby. You Crosby looking. I was like, whoa, did that just solidify itself? Like,
wow.
Yeah.
That was a sign.
So we're just like, oh, we're going to run with this.
Did you have like a Crosby sandwich or like the Crosby pancakes or something?
We'd never really used the name with the menu items, but we.
Some restaurants do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of food did you specialize in?
We kind of gave our chefs free range, man. And it was like, we kind of experimented and everything. We were first time, restaurant owners. We like, none of us really knew what we were doing in the start, you know? So we just kind of had an experiment and let it ride. You know,
cheeseburgers and french fries and stuff.
There was a burger there.
I'm excused.
We had like
so
a solid,
hungry.
Really solid burger.
I'm hungry as hell. I'm sorry. I got rice cooking. But they unplugged my rice cooker. Thanks, guys. So I'm going to be eating cold rice later. But so did you have like desserts and did you have a bar?
Yeah, we had a bar. Mm-hmm. We had a stage. We had a solid sound system in there.
Dude,
and it was small. It was just like, you know,
small
you could probably
restaurant.
Fit like 180 people.
Yeah.
But like sardine style. So,
damn,
so 150 would be comfortable.
God dang. So how many hours do you spend a day trying to run this restaurant?
Oh, man. It was
just
like...
Oh, my God. I worked in restaurants. I always got fired. I couldn't handle it.
Damn, I almost fired myself from my own restaurant.
Damn. Yeah, you guys work in restaurants?
Man. I have.
Bar back in?
No, sir.
Waiters?
McDonald's.
There you go.
Bryce, you worked at McDonald's? Wow. We got to talk about that. Later. Wow. But then when did you realize like the load was too much? Like year, whatever. You're like, you know what, dude? This is not worth the cost. Or
It wasn't the load was too much. We, you know, there was... This is one thing that like
This is a tough one to talk about, actually.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, yeah. But it's not It's. I probably shouldn't talk about it.
Oh, okay. It's okay.
It has to do with like...
How about we make it positive? Shit. You do the next album called The Crosby. And then you do an EP, and then you do, make it into a positive thing. See what I'm saying?
That. I could do that. Yeah.
All right. So what's in the future for Free the Robots, man? Like what are your goals for the next upcoming years or whatnot? Keep making music.
I really don't have any goals.
What do you mean? But you keep.
I just want to continue making music. Mm-hmm. I guess the most recent thing I starting a new project, and this is kind of like very, very new, but.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Well, okay. I started, through these tours, I started extending tours because I just like to be in these places and started meeting a lot of people. Yeah. And I've been spending a lot more time in Asia lately, and especially the Philippines.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what's up. Yeah, I've been to Manila. Yeah. Loved it, dude.
It's a crazy place.
Yeah, dude.
It's a wild place. But it's wild, man, dude. me and my buddies, some locals out there and a friend from back home, we found a little plot of land in this island out there called Siargao, and it's like a surf island over there.
What?
Just like,
yeah, let's tell me more. What are you guys doing? Planning to do?
Building homes, really. Slash kind of like a spot. Maybe like a creative getaway.
There's a lot of stuff popping in Manila like that, dude.
Yeah, man. Like
where there's like there's a lot of there's music scene there's like music scenes and art scenes out there.
Yeah, big time. It's really interesting. Like every time I go back, it still kind of blows my mind.
You still got family there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's
still
up.
Got family, a lot of friends over there, and we'll see what happens. It's always a good idea to have like 1 foot out of the door of America. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. That's like thinking outside the box. So buying land in the Philippines.
Yeah, just like it could be whatever it is. It could turn into whatever. Like it is gonna be.
But the cost of living, I know this. The cost of living there is way cheaper, dude.
Compared to LA.
Because I met some students out there. They're like, I'm chilling, and I pay this amount. I'm like, what?
Everyone seems to be just chilling out there.
Everyone
works hard, but
yeah, dude, it's dope out there.
Yeah, man,
it's dope.
Figure like get back to roots because that's like it trips me out because my family immigrated here in the 70s.
I
didn't really get to understand Filipino life and what that meant and who I would have been had my family stayed there. And
you'd been way different.
It would have been completely different. It really, living in America has definitely, it's had its ups and downs, of course. And we've had to deal with a lot of crazy stuff. Growing up in the 80s and 90s, it was a very different time, pretty rough. You had these identity crises and everything.
Yeah.
But whatever happens, it forms you. It teaches you to become an individual and accept everything as it comes and you could use it in ways like certain people got into gangs and got into all this other stuff.
What, Filipino gangs?
Stuff like that. You know what I mean?
But I just know one in high school. I was at a house party. And I'm from Poway. I'm from like the suburb school. But then we went to more of the Asian high school, or that area, PQ. And we're at a house party. It was during the 90s. And these Filipino cats were there. I think they were Bloods. I don't know. But he goes, there was a DJ on top DJing. And then he was arguing with the guy at the bottom. And he goes, "Bahala na, fool!" And he went like this, and he had a gun.
BNG.
Yeah, he goes, "Bahala na," and I go, "What the hell?" We're like, we're dancing, to like Chub Rock or whatever.
Yeah.
And then pap pap pap, and then he shot in the air, and then we all just ran out the backyard. It was scary because I wasn't used to that.
It was a wild time, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
this was in San Diego.
Oh, damn. Yeah. San Diego.
So what does Bahalana mean? I've always wondered that. I will never forget him saying "Bala na fool," and then pap pap pap.
From what I was like,
isn't it like what
like
the
watch
hell?
You,
like what the hell?
I could tell the context. It's just like watch yourself or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, Bala na. Yeah. But no, that's I think the name of the gang.
Yeah, yeah. That's the yeah.
You guys BNG? Heard about this?
No, the, yeah. But that's that was
I was
like,
scared, dude.
Yeah, no,
I have to admit, I was pretty scared. I was like, dude, this. I thought I was just gonna dance, like do some house dancing tonight.
Yeah,
yeah.
Go housing.
But Pinoys don't mess around, you know. You got to watch out. Some of them are.
That was what it was. That was what it is.
Yeah,
like, you know, to be in the '80s and nineties, like you were, you know, gang life was heavy, and it was also, you know, you could go that route or like. A lot of Filipinos got really into hip hop too. So
there's a lot of B-boys, dude.
DJs.
There's some dope Pinoy B-boys. Hands down, dude. Yeah, right? Yeah. Wouldn't you say? We had a B-boy, Vincent. We had a B-boy on here, our first B-boy. So shout out to Vincentity.
Word.
Yeah, but that was crazy just having him talk about the culture, how he got involved with the dance. And like, he basically got jumped in at a rec center. He was a kid, right? He was a kid at a rec center, and all the kids just like cornered him and just, he had a dance against like eight kids. And that's how, like, his rite of passage.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
And that was the weird thing, because even back in those days, like, even B-boying had like its connection to like gang culture.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? There was like a weird, like rough, I don't know, transition between like, I don't know. It was kind of crazy.
I respect B-boys, man.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's like one part of the culture that like I think is missing within the hip hop, or like a lot of them kind of like push them to the side or whatever. But it's like these guys, like that's like the most difficult like aspect of the art, you know. They're like spinning on their heads, they're like on their hands. Speaking of Insanity, he invited us, Bryce, because I want to learn to do a lesson like he in his garage. He teaches kids,
but
he also dances in his garage. So he offered to we could do a vlog where because you know not to get good, just to get in shape.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So we'll talk after about that. So, yeah, he hollered at us. Yeah.
There you go.
But, yeah, man, Pinoy B-boys, dude, like, they don't mess around. And
DJs, of course.
They've repped hard in Cali, right? Or in different crews or whatever. Yeah. You know, I respect that, man.
Pinoys
I really
just,
do.
Like, love singing and dancing. And
oh, they can sing. The singing is on point, right?
Yeah.
They always win, like, the competition, the singing competitions. Yeah,
always. And just like the karaoke game is just like popping off everywhere. It's just,
One thing about the Philippines, man, that I tripped out at was free roaming chickens.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you'll go there and you'll see chickens. You'll see animals like cats and dogs just roaming free, dude.
Pretty much. Yeah, especially in the place that we're at, you know. It's just like chickens and goats, and it's very like
it's crazy
roots, man.
It feels right.
It feels like, you know, living in this kind of like American bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not something that's familiar to me to be like that, to live that simple, and I connected with it so.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I just
totally
connected with it. And I'm like, damn, like, what have I been doing all my life?
I want to go back to Korea as well, man. Cause,
it's
amazing. Yeah, man. Like, I'm especially like with the culture as far as the B-boy. I know there's a lot. That's huge there, right?
Super crazy.
Like, Jinjo and Morning Lau and, like, just like a bunch of dudes there. But, I just want to go there just to, you know, just check it out, you know?
Yeah.
I would love to perform there.
Have you been before?
Yeah, my brother, he got booked for a Wonder Girls video. So the Wonder Girls back then, they're like the Spice Girls of Korea. And so he did a video shoot. He had an extra ticket. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to roll with. And then, there's a dude out there named JYP.
Yeah.
He's like the Puff Daddy in Korea. He formulates all these boy bands and girl bands, you know, and the pop bands or whatever.
Yeah.
So I met that dude, and have you heard of JYP?
No.
He's large in Korea. So I met him, and dude, they didn't even have, my brother, he didn't even have a green room or like a his own trailer. They only had one room where everyone changed in.
Yeah.
And he worked 16 hours straight, dude. Like, they didn't have no breaks. And then for lunch, they had like a big pot of kimchi jjigae outside, yeah. And everyone lined up. I was like, well, this is, they're like, they work hard, dude. They like, it's like that ethic, that work ethic is just, they don't, no breaks, just one, you eat one meal and then back to work.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But it's a trip how that is out there, all the boy bands and girl bands.
Yeah, it is a.
There's like dormitories and wild stuff. Yeah.
And like, even like the B-boys and pretty much anyone who's doing anything that's just like could represent for the country.
Yeah.
Don't they get like sponsorship by the government too?
I don't know. Probably.
Like
I don't know. They groom them. They like get them in real young. They're like, hey, you're gonna. This is your group. You wear your hair this way.
Yeah.
Learn these moves. Sing this way. It's a trip, dude.
It's a trip.
It's almost like militant, dude.
But you know, like they got it. You know.
Yeah.
They got it going on. Like. Yeah, I don't know. There's some talented people out there.
Oh, you know, one thing in Korea I noticed too. I mean, you would appreciate this. We walked. We've discovered this underground, like shopping center.
Yeah,
it seemed like a subway system.
They had like they have all the record stores.
Yeah,
down there.
I saw a guy selling jazz records.
Yeah.
I was tripping. I'm like, what's this?
That's
a Korean dude. Like, what's he doing with all these vinyl?
There's spots, man, like that underground spot. There's a spot, the 360 Sounds that, like, shout out to 360 Sounds out there.
Shout out to 360 Sounds.
Yeah, there's spots. Like, every time I go there, I always go with my buddy Lefto, who's...
Is he a producer as well? Or
yeah,
he's maker,
We did a record together, actually.
Well, yeah, how do the viewers hear? Like, where could they hear this record?
Yeah, it's called Caravan.
Caravan?
It's called Caravan.
Where could they get it, man? let's pump that out.
You could just all the normal, you know, iTunes. And
iTunes.
All,
what like, did they type in and stuff?
Caravan with the K, so it's K A R A V A N. And if you just like Free the Robots or Lefto,
they get the digital somehow, download or what?
Yeah, you can get the. You can
yeah,
find
let's
it on
pump
there.
This. That's and why you're here. Let's
I
pump
think
it
there's
out.
Vinyl still available. I don't know if it's completely sold out, but yeah.
Def, check that out. Yeah, we're going to plug
please,
all that at the
check
end.
That out.
We're doing on we're past the hour
shout
mark
out to
as well.
Lefto.
Yeah, Lefto, shout out to Lefto. I think, man, did you have fun, man? Cuz this is we went past an hour.
Yeah.
The time flew by.
Yeah, man.
So man, like I'd like I would like to do a future show with you as well, man, you know.
Sure,
I missed
man.
Your set, but then I looked you up after and I'm like, you know, like I think that would be dope, man.
If there's anything that pops up,
yeah,
you know,
please
I'm
keep us
it.
In mind as well, you know. And definitely. Then Lil Ray's got an announcement too in a few minutes. he showed up to the show unannounced, and we're kind of fighting right now. But he wrote me a letter. But okay, and if you have any recommendations as well, at the end when the cameras are off, just holler at me, and then we'll the Stevie Weeby show. Like I want more artists, I want producers, I want DJs, more
b-boys,
more dancers, more artists. Or you know what, I haven't had any graffiti artists on here.
Okay, yeah, there's
do you know any?
Yeah, I got a couple guys, some like just from the art gallery days. Like,
yeah, and they would be open because I know they're like really secretive about their identity. Or
that is the only thing. That's the only
thing. Yeah, yeah. They're kind of weird about that.
Yeah, because,
you know, like
you know.
Graffiti artists, like... maybe they could do it with, a mask over their head.
That could be an option.
Yeah, because they don't want to reveal their identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a... You know, if... You know, now that I know that this is going on, like...
Yeah.
And I know what you guys are aiming for, I could...
Yeah, this is just to promote people, man. If they're a comedians, when you're performing, when's your special out? If you're an artist, you're a musician, how do they get your CD? How do they get their vinyl? When you're going on tour now? You know what I mean? That's why the Stevie Weeby show's here, right, guys?
Right.
So it's for a good cause, right?
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, let's, Chris, what is your Instagram?
Instagram is just Instagram, Free the Robots. Just one word.
Free the Robots.
Twitter is the same
okay.
thing. Facebook's the same
that's
thing.
What's up. What about
Free the Robots?
What about a cat who wants to buy some music off you, like a physical copy of a CD or a record? How do they do that?
Maybe Amazon. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Record stores might still have them.
They just type in Free the Robots.
Yeah, it's just been a while.
When's your next release, dude?
It's very close. I'm pretty much done with the record. I'm just like...
You're done with the record?
I'm done with like
that's good. You're
four
on here.
Records right now that
okay,
I'm sitting on.
So for the viewers, if they peep this and they want to buy the new record, how do they go get it?
You'll find it on, you know, just all the outlets, like from out to iTunes to record stores.
Free the robots.
Free the robots.
Free the robots all day, huh?
And there's like some weird side projects and there's a lot of stuff that mm-hmm. I've just been kind of sitting on and haven't been able, you know, there's always like that, you finish like 90% of the record, but the 10% takes like 10 years to finish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Damn, so you have all those projects done already?
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
You know what? You got to just let it out into the universe, man.
I know
how it is with artists, man. Like, I know with my stuff, like, I like critique it. If I have it too long, I critique the hell out of it.
It gets just
I get to a point where, like, nah, I don't want to put it out at all.
Yeah.
So I'm just this is just my opinion. You should just, like, put it out in the universe. You know, right, Bryce? Right.
It'll happen.
Because, man, we have limited time on this planet. On this plane, right? Put it out.
I promise.
Let
it'll
it go,
be out
dude.
This year.
Put it out there. Free the robots. Free the robots. Free the robots. Type that in. Buy that stuff, right?
Yes, sir. Please.
Thanks for coming on. You have
Thank
fun.
You.
Was that easy or what?
Yeah,
that
man,
was
that
easy.
Was, that
was
dope.
Was it fun?
That was dope.
It was just
easy.
Chill.
Easy.
Easy peasy, right? No problemo. All right. With that being said, as well, I got to shout out my new Patreons, Miams. Kyle and Dwayne Shoots Toys. That's an ill name, huh? shout out to Dennis Lee for buying some music. If you want to become a patron on patreon.com, please join us. patreon.com/StevieWeeby, okay? And if you join, you'll get... I do a diary log every Monday. It's like a whole added podcast that only my Patreon people... could listen to. It's not available anywhere. You could only come to my Patreon and it's every week, right? Yeah. So if you join my Patreon, you'll have access to that as well as like rare songs that I'm not putting out anywhere, only in my Patreon. You'll have access to the Little Ray songs before they're even out. Even you'll know what guests we're having before a week in advance. You know what I'm saying? And if you want to sell, so go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby to become a patron. If you want to follow us, go to the Stevie Weeby Show. Go to Instagram/QUANGOU. If you want to send anything physical to the show, we have a P.O. box. So send it to the Stevie Weeby Show, 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. And it says right here, Little Ray is looking for a summer tour. And Little Ray actually wrote me a letter. Can I read it? I got this morning. Or I just, hold on. It says, to whomever it may concern, I'm sick of being stuck on a purgatory planet. I've just about had enough. Me and Beep are looking to go on a summer tour. I will prove to you all that I'm better than Stevie Weeby. Wow, he's being a little mean, huh? So if you are interested in booking Little Ray, DM us at Instagram/QUANGOU or Instagram/MonchiHammer. I may consider bringing Stevie if he apologizes for disrespecting my name. Leave this guy. Oh my God. Let's get her done this summer. Sincerely, Raymond, a.k.a. Little Ray. Wow. I have some words about that. Unbelievable. Oh, my God. He's like stirring it up, isn't he? With that being said, are we good on the sponsors? With that being said, thanks again, Chris, for coming. With that being said, it's time for Little Ray's World. Boom.
Welcome to Lil Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck could do a world I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls. Welcome to Little Ray's world. Yeehaw!
What the hell is that, Beep? Looks like a round piece of poo attached to a goddamn butt here, man. That is disgusting, man. What is the story behind this? Your name was Cornelius, and you tripped and went into a goddamn porta potty and drowned? God, I feel so bad for you, man. And it smells like poo around here, man. So now you got resurrected into a dingleberry attached to a butt hair. Is that correct? Oh, man, I feel bad for you. Back up, Beep. Me and Beep wrote a song about you. It goes like this, Cornelius the Dingleberry.
This one's called Cornelius the Dingleberry, folks.
Cornelius,
I'm back.
The Dingleberry, man.
Cornelius the Dingleberry from the town of Derry. He slipped into a porta potty, drowned. It was scary. They used to make fun of him because he was too hairy in the school's library. I'm your Huckleberry.
Soon for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. I'm out of here.